Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 152 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, pal Sean Orford, and special guest, Mr. Jeff Jeffries. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm good, thank you, and thanks for inviting me.
No, it's really, it's a pleasure to have you here on this icy, horrible spring morning in Liverpool.
Tell me about it. I've worked in Liverpool, and I know it gets icy. I forgot it got windy, and I was very cold walking over this morning.
Yeah, that's nearly May, though. What's going on?
You can't beat a British summer, can you?
There's some strange kind of energy going on in the atmosphere at the moment. There's kind of reasons for it. I won't go into that. I don't want to bore everyone with my kind of environmental witterings at the moment, but yeah, hey ho.
You do a good line of witterings.
I do. Yeah, liveinthepresent.co.uk is the link to our website. There'll be a few show notes and important links for you to check out. Head over there. Also, access to all previous episodes of this podcast free of charge. Incredible. What an offer. Can you believe it? This week, we're talking about something called geopathic stress and more general discussion about energy, these kind of weird mystical, metaphysical things that go on that people know about but can't always explain. Jeff is an expert in this field.
That sounds very flattering.
Well, your website says so. Is that?
It must be true.
Yeah, it's got to be true. Yeah, it's on the internet.
I'm an international expert. I'm not just an expert. I'm an international expert, if we're quoting from the website.
Well, yeah, you've done part of a radio show podcast in America, was it?
Yes, I did an hour's chat with a wild guy in the USA who asked me about geopathic stress, asked me about how to clear it. And when I told him that I could clear it remotely anywhere in the world, he, I think, very cleverly said, well, what you've done then is connected to some force and created a new paradigm that allows you to do that. And I'd never thought of it that way, but I'm sure he's right. It's all to do with cosmic energies, body energies, earth energies, connecting, coming together, and strange things happen.
Okay, right. We'll just dive in and start talking about this.
Good.
Jeff's website is intelligentenergies.com, so have a look at that. Fascinating stuff. The geopathic stress is something that's completely new to me. Before I know Sean and Jeff, you kind of know each other for a while-ish. So do you want to kind of give a brief bio, Jeff, and say how you came across this geopathic stress?
Yeah. First of all, geopathic stress is distorted earth energy. In simple terms, we call it the Earth's magnetic field, but people believe there are other Earth rays.
Yeah.
But when the Earth's magnetic field goes through running water and certain other underground features, it becomes distorted. And that distorted energy is a form of pollution. The distorted Earth energy is no longer compatible with us. And that can interfere with our health, make it harder to be well. If we're having treatment for any condition, it will inhibit that treatment. So it's harmful in general ways, non-specific ways.
Yeah.
Certainly needs to be tackled.
And this energy can be as local as, like, to someone's home. It's not. It can be. Can it be over a huge area, or?
It's mostly in lines, because it's mostly created by underground streams or fissures in rocks. But it can spread wider. It can also be created by underground voids and certain rock formations. Granite is held to be a particular cause of geopathic stress. But in the real world, yes, you live over it and you sleep over it and you work over it.
Would you make a relationship between what we'd call ley lines and the lines you're talking about?
Yeah, ley lines are related, but ley lines are not necessarily harmful. Some people believe that they can be, others believe that they're never harmful. But yes, there is a connection in the sense that it's an underground line. But the geopathic stress line follows the course of whatever is creating the geopathic stress, the distorted energy. And whether the Earth, in a similar way, creates positive lines or other lines that are held to be spiritual and meaningful, mm-hmm. it seems likely to me that the Earth does. But I, for good or ill, focus on the negative energy because I came across it, realised how damaging it could be, became interested and found ways to deal with it.
Well, yeah, there'll be probably a good percentage of people listening right now kind of slightly cynical of this stuff. I'm assuming you probably were before you knew anything about it as well, or were you open to this immediately, or what triggered your interest in this?
I was always interested in healing, in healing stories. You see them in the press from time to time.
Yeah.
About some miraculous healing that had taken place somewhere. And those stories always fascinated me. But I never pursued any of it. And then we found out many years ago now, I have to say, my daughter had learning difficulties, and to be fair, she still does. But my daughter had learning difficulties, and desperate to find help, I started to look. And like many people, regardless of their belief systems, I asked God for help. I wanted help for Jenny. Mm-hmm. And not too long after that, I came across a story about a healer in London. And I took Jenny down to the healer, and after several sessions, well, in fact, after two sessions, in fact, Jenny was a different person.
Wow.
She was always a child who, when you walked along with her, felt heavy in your hand. She was always a step behind and kind of being pulled along. And after the second treatment, she was walking along perfectly light. She felt light. She felt different. And I knew then that things were happening and that this healer was doing things to help and stuff that I didn't understand but was grateful for. And that continued, and Saker introduced me to geopathic stress as part of part of the problem that was affecting Jenny. Jenny is now in her 30s and a totally different child, totally different person. She still has learning difficulties, but she's now a very active member of the family, whereas before you could not really communicate with her, even as a 10-year-old. She was there, but not in the same way as the rest of the family. Not actively a partner.
Yep.
She was just with us, and that changed through healing. And the person who I knew did healing was the person who told me about geopathic stress. And because I've always been open-minded and a little bit inquisitive,
yep.
I trusted what she had to say about geopathic stress. And I started to look into it and found that I had an affinity with it. I found that once I knew about it and started to find it through dowsing, which is something we could talk about if you wish. But
yeah, I'd like to move on maybe to the kind of the process of discovery of how you can sense these things and how people can be helped.
Yeah. The usual way is through dowsing, which most people know as water divining. You can use rods or you can use a pendulum. Maybe older listeners, if I may say, and I'm an older one myself, may remember that it used to be common practice to forecast the sex of an unborn baby by having a wedding ring on the end of the cotton, and if you dangle that over the tummy of the pregnant lady, it would swing one way or another, meaning male or female, and that's dowsing. And you can do it with pendulums like that. You can do it with rods that cross over when you find whatever it is that you're looking for. And people may also know of kinesiology, muscle testing. That's one way. That's one way to try to identify geopathic stress.
And you can. Oh, sorry, you're on short.
I've seen people using kinesiology when they're looking at allergies.
All right.
And very very effective.
And in terms of, I've seen on your website you can do this remotely as well.
That's right.
Which is fascinating.
In a way, lots of things are remote that we don't realise are remote. Dowsing happens remotely because you don't have to be on site in order to find water. Yuri Geller, for example, has apparently made himself very wealthy by finding oil and gas reserves and minerals and so on, simply from using a map and the same pendulum, the same sort of wedding ring and thread that we use to detect the gender of a baby. He uses it to detect precious reserves, valuable reserves, anywhere in the world. So that is remote.
Yep.
People who do healing, whether it's Reiki healing or the sort of healing I do, which is very similar to Reiki, but I don't do it with the Reiki techniques, that can be done remotely as well. So I can send healing anywhere in the world and have done many times. And I can also clear geopathic stress remotely anywhere in the world. I think I'm in about 28 countries now. I recently added Iceland to the list.
Blimey.
So yeah, there are forces that that make this. Excuse me. There are forces that make this happen. There are forces that tell us what's underground, what it is, and we access those that information via our body energies. Connecting to a wider cosmic energy that knows that, for example, there is water underground at a certain point. The dowser comes along and his body energy connects to that information that's held by cosmic energy, and the effect is that the dowser's muscles twitch and the rods move or the pendulum moves, and that creates a signal that the dowser understands. It's different for different people, but that essentially is what happens.
The bit about that I think is interesting, because we had a conversation before we went on air, is I was saying about work that had been done mainly through the University of the Trees in Boulder Creek, California, where they've been researching into dowsing and saying how they could measure how the magnetic energy in the spinal column was affecting the muscles in the back and therefore making the dowsing rod move. And the thing that you said, which I think is fundamental, is you said, yeah, okay, I can understand that as a mechanical process, but the thing is, where's the intelligence that tells the system that the water's there?
That's right. I'd not heard of it as being through the spinal cord, but that makes total sense to me. There has to be a reserve of information that knows whatever is underground or whatever is in almost any field. There are people who can douse for health issues. Mm. There are people who can douse for lost objects. I can douse for geopathic stress, but I don't have the same success in dowsing for other issues. So there's some sort of wavelength thing perhaps going on, whether it's our body energies.
When you think about that, and you've got Yuri Geller, and he's got his map and his pendulum.
And his spoon. He's Ben Spoon as well.
Forget that. That's all I know about him.
We're accepting that it's not Yuri Geller who knows that. Yuri Geller effectively is a channel for this energy. Yeah. So when we start to talk about this energy, the thing I want to check out is the issue of God, because lots of people would see that as God or as spirit, or there would be other things that people would use to describe that. You use the word intelligent energies. Could you give us a feeling for that idea between that energy and this Godhead or whatever it is?
I can certainly try. I use intelligent energies deliberately, because I didn't want what I was discovering about the nature of the universe and the things that I was discovering through healing and dowsing and my daughter and all the rest of it. I didn't want that to be mixed up with any other label, because if you talk about God, then people are either for or against the notion of God. And either way, they have a particular notion of what is God, an interpretation through religion, which may or may not be accurate. And I wanted to avoid all of that and not create prejudice from the outset. So I came up with this notion of a sentient, aware, interactive energy that I call intelligent energies. Mm-hmm. And I can see that it's perfectly possible to say that that power, which definitely physically exists, is the power that people interpret as God through the various religions, and that might well be so. It could also, academically at least, this is the way I looked at it, it could also be a step below God, a form of interactive energy that allows us direct or indirect through that force, allows us to have our connection with God. So God is an almighty being, exactly perhaps as presented by religions, exactly as they interpret God. And the power that I use and call intelligent energies may be a stepping stone to the power of God. I really don't know, and I'm not disrespectful in any way to religion or to the notion of God. I use a different label in order to talk about the work that I do and the things that I know, and that's intelligent energies.
So would you see yourself in that sense as being a channel for that energy?
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But in channeling, you're able to direct it to a particular target, as it were?
Yes, yeah. Dowsing, if we talk a little bit more about dowsing, just to sort of set the picture, dowsing is a process by which our body energies, one way or another, access information through cosmic energies, whether it's for a lost object, gender of a baby, whatever. We access that information, and I access that information, I must say, particularly well, in respect of geopathic stress. It's the only thing that, so far as I know, I can access that information as well as I do. I don't have the same success with matters of health or, as I say, finding lost objects, but I'm pretty good at accessing that information about geopathic stress. But what I've also found is that I'm wired up in a way to allow me to go back into that information and change what's happening underground. So if we go back to the point that I made, that mostly geopathic stress is created by underground running water, I clearly can't move a stream, I can't stop a stream, that stream is still active, mm-hmm. The geopathic stress is still being created, but by the way in which I channel, I can channel back into it and restore that distorted energy back to its natural state. So it starts off as geopathic stress, but my method, my technique, instantly turns it back to the natural energy that it was. It irons out the distortion, and it's no longer geopathic stress, and that happens underground. So by the time it reaches the surface to where we may live, sleep, or work, it's perfectly safe energy again.
There are a few case studies on your website which are interesting. We can maybe focus on one or two, just so people can get a flavour of why they should think about this as a possible therapy. Well, I mean, what are the benefits of going with this? What can be the changes in a person's life?
In terms of geopathic stress, what it is held to do is interfere with our body energies. It makes our body energies less effective, and it's perhaps worth confirming that we do have body energies. They're not just byproducts of our physique, our physicality. They're real energies, and these are used in acupuncture. They're used in reflexology to some degree in homeopathy and so on. We do have an energy force that is part of who we are and what we are, and it keeps us well. If that pollution that is geopathic stress gets into our body energy doesn't work so well. And what mainly happens, we think, is that it interferes with our immune system. So our immune system doesn't do its job so well. And it affects different people in different ways, depending on various matters. It depends on how old you are. As you get older, your body energy has to work harder anyway, I think, in order to keep an aging body. I suspect that that's a tougher job later in life than it is earlier in life. If we have a bad lifestyle, that's going to affect our health. So geopathic stress will be one more burden on a difficult lifestyle. But even if we have a very good lifestyle, geopathic stress will slowly do the things that pollutants do.
Chip away at you.
Absolutely.
If you have, say you have a geopathic block underneath a building, would that affect everybody in the building?
It would affect everybody in the building, but whether it wouldn't affect them all in the same way. It would depend on what they're sort of predisposed to have. If you have a weakness in your physiology, it would find that weakness out. Your body energy would find it even harder to deal with that weakness. If you're taking treatments, the treatments would not be as effective as if you didn't have geopathic stress to worry about, or for your body energy to cope with. So everyone would be effective. And if you live over, sleep over a spot that's geopathically stressed, that's really the worst, because you're there all the time. You're at home. If it is under your bed, then your sleep is going to be disturbed. So sleep is important anyway, but you're also being bombarded with geopathic stress for maybe whatever it is, 7, 8, 9 hours at a time. So that is going to affect you in a number of ways. So getting rid of the geopathic stress does have improvements for sleep usually. If you've got geopathic stress, you may find you have headaches. Babies move about the cot for no known reason. Finishing up pressed against the bars, that's a sign that geopathic stress is affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
People often say that they've not been happy since they moved to a different house or a different office, a different room, a different job. Anything that you've suddenly find starts to go wrong when you've made that sort of change may well mean that you've moved to an area of geopathic stress.
Yeah.
You know, when people use things like feng shui, is it that they're identifying that the geopathic stress is there and they're trying to manipulate things around that to minimise the effect?
In a way, yes, but I don't know a lot about feng shui, although I have two feng shui experts who send me cases, one from Ireland and one from South Africa. So they identify geopathic stress specifically.
And then identify it needs clearing.
And they identify that it needs clearing, and I'm the person that they turn to do the clearing. Feng shui itself is about other energies, about the way the house is orientated, objects in a room and so on, and is actually an amazing topic when you look at it seriously. I would suggest that people look at feng shui sites, because the ones that are serious know all sorts of things that, again, through a form of dowsing, that are worth knowing. So feng shui is a very big topic, much bigger topic than people realise.
Yeah.
But it does certainly connect to geopathic stress, because both of them are about energies not working as well as they should.
I've seen on some of the case studies that once you've worked your magic, inverted commas, that people can then come into the house who didn't know you've been there working.
That's
and
right.
the home all of a sudden feels different, as if it's had a new lick of paint.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. That happens. It's interesting that you say magic. I had a Chinese guy in.
I wasn't sure how you'd react to that word. I was a bit wary of saying it. But yeah, I'll use that for now.
he was a great guy. I cleared his flat, and he came back with an email saying what a wonderful job I'd done, and he called me Mr. Magic or something. How can you do that from the UK over to New York? And he immediately ordered a clearance for one of his friends, and that one worked. All sorts of good things happened in terms of health in both cases. So he sent me a third one, and I cleared that again. And all three, the guy who started it and his two friends, were bombarding me with emails saying how brilliant it was and using the word magic. Mm-hmm. Whether that's part of the sort of Chinese culture, I have no idea. But I do understand why people... I find it amazing. That's why my book's called It's a Whole New World, because when I started to explore all of this, that's what my wife and I would say to each other every time we stopped to reflect. This is a whole new world. It's amazing.
Where's your wife come from on the side of the debate? She kind of instantly switched onto it as well, obviously with the experience with your daughter.
Yeah.
She followed you on the journey.
Yes, that's right. Yes, she was a part of it. We both went to see the healer with Jenny. My wife is religious. I don't have a religion. I'm spiritual, and I believe in God. I'm happy to say that I believe in God, even if I don't know exactly how that fits into what I call sentient, intelligent energies that I actually work with on a daily basis.
Yep.
I'm spiritual, my wife's spiritual through religion. And she was equally amazed, and actually had more confidence in me at the time than I did, because I wanted to heal, but I stopped short of saying to people, I'd like to heal you. I know that you're not very well, and I'd like to heal you. I think possibly because it was so new to me, and I was thinking, why me? You know, am I kidding myself that I've actually got any ability at all? But Brenda, my wife, had no such fears, and she would tell anybody that her husband did healing, and it would make sense if the person let him try and
take a punt.
That's right. And a succession of people did. All of them got some benefit. I learned how to heal. I learned what to look for. I learned what might go wrong, which is principally that I might try to heal someone for too long in a session, and then my energies start to get weak. But I felt my way around the topic, and we're both fully committed. We fully understand, because there is absolutely no doubt that interactive energies are what the universe and our lives are all about.
Can I ask you a question that you may not be able to answer even today? If we talk about acupuncture, we can see someone sticking pins in.
Sure.
If we're talking about Reiki, we can see someone using their hands. How do you do it? What do you do? What happens?
With healing?
With you, yeah. Because, I mean, we're talking about someone maybe on the other side of the planet here, and you're working. There's no pins or hands. How does it work? How do you do it?
Right. It works through the cosmic force. It works through intelligent energies. It's probably easier to talk about healing than it is to talk about clearing geopathic stress. Mm-hmm. Not least because there is more knowledge about the energies involved. But as you say, we have the energies that are used in acupuncture. Our body energies help to keep us well. But we live in amidst the cosmic energies, the intelligent energies that I talk about. And if I'm trying to send healing, if I am sending healing anywhere in the world, what I do is face them as near geographically as I can. That just makes me feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I put my arms out in front of me in a very relaxed way, and just think about healing. I ask for healing to go to this person. I name them. I sometimes invoke the Lord because I'm completely relaxed about just what terminology to use. I use Abraham as a guide, and I simply ask for the healing to go through me to the client that I'm trying to help. And that gets back to your word, Sean, channeling. That's what I'm doing. The healing is out there. It's all around us. I can be a transmitter. So I receive the healing from intelligent energies, cosmic energies, into my body energy, my mind and my energy system, then send that energy, whether it goes directly through me to there or whether I create something at the other end. There isn't a line between me and the client, I don't know, but I send through the interactive energies, healing energy that works then with the client's body energy to do its job of helping. And interestingly, that's where I got the idea of intelligent energies, because I suddenly realised, after I've been doing this for quite some time, that I was asking for help and I was getting help, and the help was going to the person that needed the help, the person that I'd identified. And one classic case was a guy called George who lived in Glasgow, and that's all I knew about him. He rang me up on Sunday afternoon to say that he was about to go into hospital for an operation on floating debris in his knee, but he'd heard about me and he didn't really want the operation, and so could I help? And I sent the healing to George in Glasgow. No other information. George in Glasgow with a dodgy knee who wanted some help. And the healing arrived. And the key point here isn't so much that it helped him, which it appears that it did. He rang me and said, yes, I'm no longer in pain and I don't intend to go ahead with the surgery. The key point about the healing is he felt warmth in his knee. So it's not in his mind. It literally was in his knee. There was heat going on in his knee. People who receive healing, whether it's direct or indirect, feel things happening. Mm. So... you know, this notion that people often, in their own way, being kind to me, to say, oh, well, you know, it is in the mind. The mind can do tremendous things, which it can, but it only does tremendous things when it's helped by the energies. So I realised that something knew who George was, where he was in Glasgow, what was wrong with him, because the healing went to his...
Well, they had his phone number.
Yes, but I didn't...
It was BT.
Yeah. Yeah, quite right. But it worked, and that's when I realised that there was a force out there that was listening to me, and it wasn't listening to me because I'm special. It listens to everybody, and we can all interact with it in our own ways and in different ways if we try. And I realised that I was dealing with an intelligent force, and that's where the intelligent energies and... the book title, It's a Whole New World, came from. I just woke up to all of this.
Sean, I'm just... what you see a lot of people who will have a range of issues coming from a range of different experiences and reasons. There's no pressure on you to give more referrals to Jeff here. But how... I'm trying to think how a person will arrive or realise that geopathic stress could be the answer, or is it just a case of trying it just to see if it works, or... at what point in time will persons try it?
I think one of the things that I'm questioning as we're talking here, and I'm going through stuff, is that very often when people arrive in the consulting room for me, they have that displaced energy. There's a wonderful Japanese word, wa, W-A, which means harmony. And they would say someone's wa has been disturbed,
right,
and their energies are out of balance. And very often... in the healing process of being in the consulting room, people will very often leave saying, I don't really know what we've done or what's happened, but I feel really good as they go out the door. And I think that healing sense of people adjusting their energies in the work that we do, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, is there in that setting. The bit that I'm thinking about now, and the bit that I'm going to go away from this podcast pondering and then end up having to talk to you about it, is the issue of... where are those people? Where are they living? And what's actually going on? Because I see people in isolation. I don't actually go to people's homes. It's quite rare. They come to me. And the issue about when you go to someone's home, you go in and you feel their environment. If I go into their workplace, I do that. I can feel the environment in the workplace. And that's true. There are some workplaces that you think, wow, this feels good in here. And others like, oh, don't want to go in here at all. And it may be cosmetically perfect, but the energy in there is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really understand that.
Yeah, but how would you know that energy, whether it's coming from a certain person or if it's coming from geopathic stress?
That's what I'm saying. It's something that I need to go away from here and think about.
Yeah, interesting. Eh?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the work of a woman called Lynn McTaggart, who runs the Intention Experiment, and they are doing a lot of work on, can you measure... If someone sends healing or energy or prayer, or whatever word we'd use, from themselves to another person, can you measure it leaving that person and arriving at the target? And they would say, as quantum physicists, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And they have lots of case studies and experiments that they've done that would demonstrate that. So for me, and I know that for some people listening to this, people might be thinking, oh, they're all mad over there. but I always think of, imagine 200 years ago, someone saying to people, there's going to be a box in the corner of the room and voices are going to come out of that box and there's going to be pictures come out of that box and they would have been burnt at the stake or something.
Yeah.
Until we had a radio and a television and it's actually happening.
Yep.
And it's a bit like electricity. I have electricity around me all the time. I can't see it. I can't smell it. I know it works because if I touch it, it gives me a hell of a belt. and I think that when we're starting to look at this area of understanding, although it's been there forever, and I think there have been sensitive people over the aeons who have been able to tune into and use this. I think we're now at that quantum level beginning to look at this scientifically and being able to understand it.
Yeah.
And the work that Jeff's doing in 10, 20 years' time will be something that people will see as normal and natural in the same way that they saw the television.
Yeah, what advancements and progress have you seen? Because you've been doing this how long now?
I've been doing it, I say, 25 years. I suspect I've done it a little bit longer than that because time flies. But,
how's things progressed in the world of...
enormously. I'm not sure that it's progressed from my perspective. I need notice of that question. I'll think about that as I go along. But it's certainly changed out there. There's a lot more people now that if I talk to them about healing, they'll say, oh, you mean Reiki, whereas I'm not sure if Reiki was known about in the UK 25 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Only in very small ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll almost always say, oh, do you mean Reiki?
Mm.
Where that would never have happened. And a lot more people have tried healing than happened in my earlier years. What I've also noticed is the way in which people, a bit lightly and perhaps in a joking manner, will now say, "Oh, I'll leave it to the universe. You know, the universe will deal with it."
Yeah,
and they're spot on. Yeah, the universe is out there, ready to deal with it. It's not straightforward. There are kind of rules and things that have
to happen. In many areas of Christianity, people say, "Give it to God."
Yeah,
it's the same thing. It is.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to start wrapping it up in a sec because we're kind of on that kind of time limit of listeners' attention. I don't know. People will be loving it, I'm sure. But what are the potential implications? Let's say all of a sudden geopathic stress was a therapy offered on the National Health Service and it was out there big time. What would the ultimate implications be for the world?
To clear geopathic stress would be enormously beneficial to people, to the NHS in the UK, to any healing system, to medics, simply because what we have with geopathic stress is an added unnecessary burden that affects, I'm guessing, something like two-thirds of people at some time or another. And it's making us unwell, it's adding to our pain. So there are people, for example, I'm not a medic, but just as an illustration, I can well imagine that people suffering from arthritis are in more pain if they live over geopathic stress than if they don't.
Yep.
Because whatever is helping them with their arthritis, geopathic stress is working against that. There's an added burden, so their healing system isn't working so well. There are people in hospital beds that are geopathically stressed. There's doctors.
I was going to say, our entire hospitals.
Anywhere.
They should all be checked out first.
Well, absolutely.
If you look at the hospital that's here, that's being demolished at the moment, they're creating a hospital at the Royal.
Yeah.
It's a hospital that's made out of concrete. And when you go in there, it's always been like that since it was constructed, because I go into the different hospitals working. And it's the place that I go to. I mean, people do get healed there. But when you go in there, the energy is so heavy.
Yeah.
It's so heavy. And it always feels to me, and this must just be such a hard place to get well in.
Yeah.
Whereas the building that they're replacing it with looks and feels quite different, even though it's not open yet.
I'm told, I don't know if this is hearsay or true, that every hospital has beds where the nursing staff know that people don't recover as well when they're in that bed as if they were in another ward in another bed. So, yeah, doctors are sending their patients home for more geopathic stress when if they only knew to take a look at the possibility that geopathic stress is having an effect, that needn't happen.
I'm going to have to wrap things up. We're going to go to Resource of the Week. Sean, I think you're going to mention Jeff's book.
Well, I'm going to say Jeff's book, it's a fascinating book. It's called It's a Whole New World, How Intelligent Energies Built the Universe, Guided Evolution, and Can Change Your Life. And recommend it. Fascinating read. And one of my missions in life is to encourage Jeff to do an audio version of the book. I think it would be amazing as an audio version.
Really getting people's heads, hey? Yeah. Well, hopefully this podcast has been a little sample, of that potential audiobook. I know you've got the...
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Anything else on that, Sean?
No, that's it. My thing is reading.
Cool. And Jeff, yourself?
Yes, I came across a book, thanks to Sean, which is about learning to manifest the law of attraction. And I've heard of the law of attraction, and I thought it was just some... sort of representation of the fact that good follows good and positive attracts to positive. I know that's not the same with magnetism, but in my world, positive energies attract positive energies. I thought that's what the law of attraction was about.
Yep.
But I realised that through a book by Esther and Jerry Hicks called Ask and It Is Given, the law of attraction is much bigger than that, and it ties in very well to what I've been saying about cosmic energies, sentient energies, awareness that is out there channeling information, and the book is quite simply about how to attract good things to yourself. Whatever you wish for, you can have. There are rules that apply, but in essence that is absolutely true. I've read it twice already. I get more information, more ideas from it the more often I read it. And it really would help people to know that this force is out there.
Magic. Cool. I've used that word again. Magic. Magic. My resource is a TED Talk, a short video, which I'll link to in the show notes, as with all this stuff, titled Can We Create New Senses for Humans, by a chap called David Eagleman. Basically saying how our experience of reality is constrained by our biology, but how kind of updates in science and technology are going to help us kind of perceive these extra things that are going on, which up until now we've been unable to grasp, which is a pretty fascinating talk. I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Right, Jeff, massive thanks for coming in today. Really appreciate it. We've mentioned your website, intelligentenergies.com. We've got your book as well, which we'll link to. Is there any other way, anything else you'd like to say, or just encourage people to get in touch?
I think that's right. I think take it seriously, investigate it for yourself. Don't believe that because science has not latched onto all of this in the sort of detail that I've been talking about, that it can't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It does exist. Research it for yourself. And to you, Ed and Sean, thanks for inviting me. I've really enjoyed being here.
It's been good.
Pleasure, brilliant. Right, as mentioned earlier on, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links from this episode and past ones. Not sure what we're talking about next week, Sean, but I haven't thought that far ahead. But it'll be, as
it'll be
ever,
amazing.
Riveting, fascinating, magic.
It'll be magic.
That word again. Yeah. Right, okay, everyone, I'll see you later and take care till next week.
Thank you, bye.
Bye now.
There we go.